Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John. And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Good News. Good News airs every Saturday and Sunday evening at 8 o'clock on Catholic Spirit Radio. And we're here to break open the scriptures, talk about what it means in our life today. How does it really affect us now, no matter what our age, but primarily for people in the teenage years? It's a tough time to be a teenager. And we're hoping that not only can this show help you, but the scriptures can help you. God loves you, and he has a lot of great information to help you through your troubles and to help you through the hurdles of life, no matter what your age. Here to help me with this is my young sidekick, James. Welcome back, James.
Hello.
Summer is upon us. How you doing?
Pretty good.
You enjoying good. Summer so far?
Oh, yeah.
Pools are open. I didn't know we'd see open pools this year. Are you getting out at all?
Working a lot. But when I'm not, I try at least.
Right. And it looks like when you go back to school, it's going to be in person without masks.
I know. It's going to be great. We're already in person in Eureka all year, except for like 2 weeks where we had to go home. But I think it'll be without masks. That'll be nice.
It's nice to see so many people at church without masks right now. We're using kind of a hybrid program. A lot of the churches in town are using this now, where a portion of the church is set aside for social distancing and masks recommended, while another side of the church would be without social distancing and masks are optional. And it's been so nice to see faces again and smiles and expressions. It's really hard to give a homily at a bunch of eyes and not see any facial expressions. It's tough to talk to people and try and be motivating and convincing when you get no feedback except a blank face mask. It's really hard. So it does us does our heart good to see smiling faces again in church and be able to talk to our parishioners afterwards and exchange greetings and even some forms of the sign of peace. So that's just great. It's nice to see that we're getting through this, and I hope someday we can be back to what we all remember as normal to a large degree. So before we get into our readings, did you have anything on your mind you want to talk about, or we can talk a little bit about church?
I don't know. Is there anything that you want to talk about?
What time of church are we in? What part of the liturgical year are we in now?
Ordinary time.
Ordinary
still.
Time. 11, color
11th
is
Sunday.
That's right, the 11th Sunday. So we didn't start on one, but we're close. So what's the what's ordinary time's color?
Green.
And why?
I don't know.
How about that? So every color, every liturgical season has a color associated with it. So in Lent, we're in violet. In Advent, we're in violet. We have some days where we're in red, like when we're celebrating a martyr. We wear red for the blood of the martyr.
White for Easter, right? Yeah.
White or gold for a lot of for Easter, for Christmas, for the big celebrations like that. But green is growth. So ordinary time is a period of growth for us as we prepare for Advent or prepare for Lent. So right now, we're actually preparing for Advent. Ordinary isn't talking about regular, mundane. When we say ordinary, we're talking about numbers. Whole numbers are called ordinaries. So in ordinary time, we're counting weeks to the next great feast of either Easter or Christmas. So right now, we're actually preparing for Christmas right now. So yes, we're in the 11th week of ordinary time. There's 30, oh, that's terrible. My trivia is going to go, I believe, 37 weeks of ordinary time throughout the year. They're broken into two big segments.
That sounds right enough to me.
All right, we'll go with that. We'll say I was right just for the sake of being a deacon.
But that green growth really goes with the first reading today.
It does. It really does. So let's do that. Why don't you take the first two readings? I'll do gospel, and then we'll talk about them.
This is a reading from Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I too will take from the crest of the cedar, from its topmost branches, near off a tender shoot, and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It shall put forth branches and bear fruit, and become a majestic cedar. Birds of every kind shall dwell beneath it, every winged thing in the shade of its boughs. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, bring low the high tree, lift high the lowly tree, wither up the green one, and make the withered tree bloom. As I, the Lord, have spoken, so will I do.
Very good. And you're right. We do see that growth theme in there, and we're going to see that some more. Before we talk too much about this, let's go ahead and do second reading, which is from St. Paul to the Corinthians.
All right. Brothers and sisters, we are always courageous, although we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet we are courageous, and we would rather leave the body and go home to the Lord. Therefore, we aspire to please him, whether we are at home or away, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense according to what he did in the body, whether good or evil.
Very good. Thank you. And then we have our gospel is from Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if man This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter the seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all, the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how. If its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest is come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It's like a mustard seed that when it's sown in the ground, it is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. But once it has been sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke to the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them. But to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. So those are our readings for this Sunday, and they do carry a specific theme with them. And what they're really talking about is the coming of the kingdom of God. So this isn't something that was just brought about by the teachings of Christ. We see from our first readings that man was wondering about and thinking about the coming kingdom of God from the very early days of Scripture. So thousands of years, over 1,000 years before Christ came, the prophets were already talking about that there's going to be a coming kingdom, that God is coming. And when we read about that, we talked about growth. So in the first reading, it's all about how God is going to send a single seed, plant a tree, so that's Christ, and from that, it's going to spread and grow Christianity, spreading and growing, that it's going to involve, it's going to include all peoples of all nations and all tribes, which was something really new, as a very new concept at the time, because you were normally, your religion was based on your tribe or your region. You would not have outsiders being able to come in and join into that religion. It was all very closed and very dependent on what family you belong to, or what tribe you belong to, or where you lived. So Christianity really kind of blew all that apart by opening its message up and its membership up to the whole world. You had some questions?
I do.
What did you have there?
So does this tree symbolize anything that he's talking about?
Yeah, that's Christ.
Okay.
If you think about it, and as you read it, and when he said it, Ezekiel's not thinking about Christ. He knows nothing about Christ. He's sharing the words that are being given to him through the Holy Spirit by God. He's agreed with in cooperation with God to, "You tell me what to say and I'll say it." Right? So the Holy Spirit speaks to Ezekiel and says, "These are the words God wants you to say." So he tells this story about this tree being planted high in a hill. Well, think about the crucifixion of Christ, mm-hmm. Right? Christ staked to a tree high on a hill. So this is the tree of life that we hear talk about, and that through his crucifixion and resurrection, this faith in God, this knowledge of God is going to spread out And again, branch out like a tree, and it's going to encompass all of mankind, just like the tree Ezekiel talks about, becomes a haven for all different types of birds and wildlife.
And then why does he wither the tree?
The death of Christ.
The death of Christ, yeah.
So the more we think about as we read Old Testament, it's really necessary to think about the New Testament, because the New Testament is the completion of the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is the forbearing of the New Testament. So everything that we read about in the Old Testament is completed in the New Testament. So this withering, this is the death of Christ, but then we also have the rising of Christ, the new birth, the new life coming from the seeds of this withered tree.
I've always wondered, why does the Protestant church focus more on the New Testament then? Because it feels like you can't have one without the other, but you rarely hear about the Old Testament.
The Old Testament is considered by many to be the establishment and the faith of the Jewish faith, which is true.
Well, I mean, the first books make up the Torah, but...
Right.
Yeah.
So the Old Testament is really the teachings of the Jewish faith. But in the Catholic faith, we can't deny that the fact that we came from the Jewish faith, that's our heritage. So we use both the old and the new. And there are some churches that use just the new. I'm not going to defend their choice. That's for them to do. What I can do is explain why the Catholic Church doesn't use only the New Testament. Because, as they say, I'll defend my faith, but I'll let others defend theirs. I really don't want to say what I think they believe, because that's really not for me to say. But I can tell you that in the Catholic faith, we use both the old and the new, because the Catholic faith sprung from the Jewish faith. Without the Jewish heritage, there would be no Catholicism. There'd be no Christianity. It was through the Jewish faith that we really came to know God. The big difference between Catholic faith and Jewish faith is the Messiah, is the recognition of the Messiah. Jewish faith is still waiting for the Messiah, and the Catholic faith says, wait a minute, the Messiah has already been here and is going to be coming again. So we use both sets of books because they both matter to us. It's like why with some people is their genealogy important to them? Where with some people, it's not important. They only care about their current family. Well, you can learn a lot from your past family. There's a lot to be learned about as far about where you came from to understand where you're going. You really need to look at where you've been. So we find the writings of the Old Testament to be extremely valuable to us in understanding the New Testament. And we see this in the teachings of Christ as he goes and speaks with the disciples. He often refers back to phrases and teachings of the Old Testament because Jesus was a Jew. I mean, that's the whole basis of his story, that the Messiah came from the Jewish faith. So that understanding what he's saying in the New Testament, to understand that, you have to understand what happened in the Old Testament.
Okay.
Any other questions on our readings or our gospel?
For the second reading, what if we aren't courageous enough? I know some Christians have a nice time on earth. What if we aren't exactly ready to go back to God?
Okay. What do you think happens?
I don't know.
Well, Jesus says in many of his teachings, he likens heaven, the kingdom, to a party. And oftentimes he talks about people who didn't come to the party prepared or rejected the invitation or were late coming in. And in all those cases, they weren't allowed in. They were turned away at the door. And what he's telling us is that if it's time for your judgment and you come unprepared, if you come late, if you come uninvited, you're not getting in. This is why we believe as Christians and as Catholics that although salvation is a gift from God and can't be earned, we still have responsibilities. I'm still expected through the commands of Christ to live a good life. to love God, to love others. And that's not just a love that takes place internally. It's a love that has to be expressed externally. You can't just say you love your neighbor if you don't do acts of love for your neighbor. James talks about this in his letters, that if you don't actually do what you say you believe in, then that's a bell with no clapper. It's a shallow promise. So we have expectations of living the life that we say we're going to live in order to put Christ first in our lives. And if we don't do that, it's showing up at the party uninvited. It's showing up to the party unprepared. And Jesus tells us that we'll be turned away at the door in case he uses in a couple of readings, with the phrase, "I don't know you. Why should I let you in my house? I don't know you."
I feel like, I don't know. I definitely would rather go to heaven than hell, obviously.
Well, as most as
everyone would, I think.
A lot of people don't care.
I don't understand that. Job 38 says that we're here, that God puts us here for a purpose, that we have a purpose to live out.
Right.
And I just feel like my purpose isn't fulfilled yet, so I'm not ready to go.
That's good. It's good that you should feel that way. You should want to do better. We should all want to be a better version of ourselves than we are at this moment. So to feel like I don't want to go yet because I don't feel I'm ready is a really healthy attitude to have as a Christian.
Okay. I just want to make sure that if I walk into the crosswalk and some guy speeds through and I die today, that, and I'm ready to go to heaven, I guess. If I had to, I just don't feel like I'm not ready. I don't feel like I'd be ready to go yet. I wouldn't want to leave yet.
You know, the more dangerous attitude to have is that I am ready. I am qualified for heaven. I am justified by my life for heaven. There should always be that desire to be closer to Christ before that moment comes. We talk about the awe, the fear of God. Okay, that's that awe and that fear that no matter what I do, and this is true, no matter what you do as a human being, you can never be ready. You can never, in and of your own actions, be ready to come before God. That's why we needed Christ. If we could have done it on our own accord, we wouldn't need a Messiah. We wouldn't need a Savior. But it's because we're broken. It's because of our own sins. It's because of our own flaws that the only way we can be ready is through Christ, not through ourselves. So the attitude you have is a really good, healthy Christian attitude to have. That it's not that I don't want to be with God. I just don't know that I'm ready yet, mm-hmm. or I don't want to take the chance that I'm not ready. I want more time. I want to improve myself. All the great saints had that same kind of attitude where I'm not good enough. I'm not ready enough. And it's not that they're saying I'm a bad person, but you're still a person. You're not God. You're not with God yet. And so you can't do anything to control that. You can help improve yourself, but to really be truly ready for God, to be really truly ready for God takes God's involvement, takes a relationship with Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. What I really like is through the three readings, this theme we see is, again, our wanting to know what heaven's about, our wanting the coming of the kingdom. What do you think heaven will be like?
I think it'll just be a lot of praying, probably, a lot of praising God. Yeah, I mean, that's a paradise, I guess, in a way.
For a lot of people to think that all I'm going to do for eternity, every moment, is just worship God. That doesn't sound like fun. That doesn't sound like joy. I've often tried to struggle with what will heaven be like. So I turn to Scripture, and again, Jesus explains it in so many different ways, and he explained it in details to the disciples more so than to the general public. But as you read it, it talks about gardens, it talks about vineyards, it talks about parties, It talks about wedding receptions. Sounds like a lot of fun. That doesn't sound like it's just an eternity of worship, because worship happens in different ways. I would hope that I worship God in more ways than just going to church and praying. You worship God through the quality of the life you live, through the decisions you make. You are a reflection. You try to be a reflection of Christ's love. That's worship in itself. So I'm thinking, as I read and as I contemplate this, for me, heaven is a place of pure joy, pure love. And that comes in many states. I think worshiping God is a joy. I think there's great happiness that can come through that, and a great peace that comes through prayer. But I also think of a wedding reception. I'm surrounded by friends. We're talking, we're reminiscing, we're sharing ourselves with each other, you know, and our joys. So I think of it as a great party in a garden, because he spends a lot of time talking about gardens and orchards and vineyards. So when I think of those things, I think of wide open, beautiful places, sunshine, greenery, surrounded by living things. But it's a different life than what we see now. And to really understand it is impossible. We can't possibly know what heaven is like. We can't. If imagine yourself a child in your mother's womb, would you have any notion of what anything outside of that womb would be like? Because you have no reference, right? Everything is completely new. I think heaven is going to be completely new to us, something we've never been able to imagine. Matthew says that eye has not seen, ears not heard, that man has not even possibly conceived what God has ready for us. And I find that very, very exciting to know that this is going to be something, a completely unique but joyful experience. And so throughout these readings, people are trying to figure out what's heaven going to be like? What's the kingdom of God like? And so they can only relate it to things they know about. And what do they know about? They know about orchards and caring for flocks, and they know about parties. So that's what they equate it to, are these beautiful, life-filled occasions. So I just find it fun that this isn't an idea that just came around recently where, gee, I'm the first person who ever wondered what the kingdom of God was going to be like, a first person who ever wondered about heaven. This has been instilled in our hearts and our minds from the very beginning. Man has thought about God and desired that affinity, that closeness with God, and has wondered, what is that moment going to be like? And that's what we celebrate in the readings this weekend. We're going to pause for just a couple minutes. We'll come back and wrap things up here on Good News.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
You most likely are familiar with Fatima and Lourdes, but did you know that the Blessed Virgin also appeared in the United States in 1859? That apparition took place near Champion, a small town in the Door Peninsula of Wisconsin. Today, Champion is home to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. Join Catholic Spirit Radio the weekend of August 14th and 15th on its pilgrimage to this shrine. Our travels will also take us to the Basilica and National Shrine of Mary, Help of Christians, at Holy Hill, also in Wisconsin. This two-day bus trip departs from Wapella, Bloomington, and El Paso. The cost for the trip is $300 per person, but if you make your reservations by June 30th, the early bird special is only $275. Make plans to join this exciting pilgrimage by visiting CatholicSpiritRadio.com or calling Kathy at 309-828-6554 or Carolyn at 309-830-4164.
And welcome back to Good News. I'm Deacon Al, and I'm here with James. And James, there are ways that people can ask questions of us to be answered here on Good News. One way is through email. You want to tell folks about that?
It's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com, right?
catholicspiritradio.com or catholicspiritradio.org. So our email is goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com or .org. Send in your questions on Catholicism, Christianity, and we'll talk about them here on the air. And the other way, if you want to hear some more of what we've talked about here, is through podcasts. And I know very little about podcasts. You, being the age you are, you know probably everything there is to know about podcasts.
Yeah, it's great. It's like an audiobook almost, but not quite. I don't know. I like sports podcasts. That's what I listen to.
I haven't even figured out how to get them up on my phone or my computer. And I understand there's a whole world of podcasts out there that you can listen to.
Yeah, I mean, luckily ours is pretty simple to get to. You just go to the website, CatholicSpiritRadio.com, just click the podcast button, and there we are.
Oh, cool. So any of the shows we've done in the past, people can go back and listen to now.
Yeah, it's easy.
I'll have to try that sometime. And then you'll have to show me how to use my phone to be able to get podcasts.
I know. You'll see your face right there.
That's a scary thought. That'd turn me off right away. I've got a face for radio. Okay. So please write in CatholicSpiritRadio.org, goodnews@CatholicSpiritRadio.org or CatholicSpiritRadio.com. We would love to handle your questions on the air. We want to know what you're thinking. No matter what your age or what your belief is in the Catholic faith, we can do our best to explain to you why we believe what we believe and how we live that out in our lives. And what we don't know, we can make up.
Yeah.
Because it's our show.
Please. I think deacons gain bored of just my questions every week. You need some more.
It would be nice to have some others. Something that I did want to talk about real quick. Coming up on July 11th at Historic St. Patrick's Church in Bloomington, we are beginning a new teen group. It's for anyone in high school from Holy Trinity or Historic St. Patrick's churches. We're going to have a kickoff picnic on July 11th at 5 o'clock, and we're going to have some live music and a guest speaker and lots of food. And we invite any teenager who would like to learn about our new teen group to come out and join us that Sunday evening. So you're even invited to come, James. Just don't eat anything. We only have so much hot dogs and hamburgers. So
okay.
You stand there and watch. But that's it for Good News this weekend, and we'll see you again next weekend here on Catholic Spirit Radio, Saturday and Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. May God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.